But right now we're talking about biohacking, which is gaining popularity around the world. The science which allows people to modify their own bodies for aesthetic or functional reasons. It's said to be an important development. Joining me now to chat more about biohacking and to explain what it is and why it's gaining popularity around the world, we have trend translator at Flux Trends, Bronwyn Williams. Bronwyn, how are you doing this morning?
Good, thanks. And yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks so much for taking time out to chat to us.
No problem.
Now, when I read this biohacking, is it just cosmetic surgery?
No, not at all. Biohacking takes a variety of different routes. So it can be anything from self-medication to monitoring and tracking the food that you take into your body, what you drink, what you eat, how you exercise, and like tracking how those factors impact on your body with regards to your health and vitality. Or it could take more extreme routes of things like actually implanting cybernetic devices into your body in order to sort of create yourself into a cyborg of your own design.
Come again? Like implanting something into your body.
Yes. So, cyborgs already walk among us. So let's not get too hysterical about this. If you're walking around with a pacemaker in your chest, if you've got a hearing aid, even if you wear contact lenses, in theory, you are a cyborg, a combination human organic body with the machine. But what the biohacking movement does is a DIY insertion of these sort of cyborg modifications. And that's what makes the biohacking movement a bit different to going and getting a medical procedure or something like a replacement hip or knee joint.
Okay, but it sounds like, from what you describe, looking after yourself nutritionally and various exercise. It sounds like biohacking is just a term that's been used to things that have existed already. Like they're calling all these practices biohacking. Am I correct?
Sort of. Biohacking, the word itself, describes using your own body as a science experiment. So whether you're experimenting with genetics, you're experimenting with nutrition, you're experimenting with science and technology, or even robotics. The key with the biohacking movement is DIY body modification.
DIY.
Yes. So that's what makes it quite different from, saying, going to a tattoo parlor and getting a tattoo. Biohacking would be doing something like that yourself. And very often, the biohacking movement involves technology and science. So it's cutting-edge science. So whether that is nutritional science, genetic science, or robotics, cybernetics, brain neural interfaces, the movement is very much orientated towards the leading edge of technological development.
Why has it become so popular?
Well, we're getting to a point now where technology is so much more available to all of us, thanks to the internet and the fact that we have access to forums and blogs and YouTube tutorials. That sort of information that was once privileged with university professors and people who worked in research labs is now available to individuals. So that's the first reason why this is gaining popularity, just the fact that we are able to do these sort of things. The other reason is more of, coming back to that second word in the term, biohacking. Hackers in this regard are wanting to take control over their own deliberate evolution, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
There's this growing sort of feeling and resistance around the world that big corporations and governments are dictating the way that technology is going to impact on our natural physical human bodies. And the biohacking movement's very passionate about putting that technology, those advances, and those planning of how we're going to evolve ourselves and our species into the hands of individuals that actually have to live through these changes.
With the use of technology, is this what we are seeing when people go to physios or specialists and put on these electronic suits to monitor their movement and their sort of their functionality, their physical functionality? Is that be classified as biohacking?
No, because you're going to a professional then.
Oh, yes.
Using a medical professional. What would be biohacking would be, say, you've got a wearable device that monitors your heart rate, for example. Mm-hmm. Like one of those things.
Or like a smartwatch.
Yes, one of our leading insurance providers, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And you would use that device to monitor how your body reacts to certain changes. But you do this in a very scientific way. And this is where the biohacking process comes in. It's about treating yourself like your own laboratory. So say you get up in the morning and you'd notice that you're going to cut caffeine out for a week, and then you monitor using very deliberate quantified data, seeing how your body responds to those changes. So if you cut back on one cup of coffee today and you cut back on even more in the next couple of weeks, how does that affect the way your body works? And it's not just saying I feel better, rather you're trying to then quantify those changes to say, if I had this much caffeine today, I slept for this long, my energy levels were this amount at this time of day, and my heart rate remained the same throughout the day. So people can get quite intense about this sort of tracking. Mm. And because of the technology we have now, you really can track all of this. And tracking data is very much what professional research scientists do. Mm-hmm. But it's just a case of applying those same methodologies to your own life and your own body. People can do very interesting things with that. I mean, even sort of monitoring how meditation affects your work performance, your sleep performance, how going to bed a little bit earlier or shifting your sleeping patterns to go to bed earlier, wake up earlier, will then affect your vitality, your health, and your heart rate, for example. So that's absolutely one way that biohackers are looking after themselves.
So we mentioned, you know, the smartphones are these devices that monitor heart rate and breathing and things like that. What other devices, or if you do know, other apps are out there to monitor things? Because you mentioned sort of neuro interfaces to determine how meditation helps you, your sleeping patterns. Like, what are people using to measure these things?
Okay, well, you can get everything now from like smart contact lenses that will even measure your blood sugar levels. So if you're diabetic, for example, you can get, well, your sort of smartwatches now can monitor very many different points of data in your body. What we've seen now is the evolution of sort of wearable devices to implantable devices or smart tattoos even. So MIT has developed a smart tattoo with another company called TechTac. They've also developed these smart tattoos. They're temporary. They last for a couple of months, but they can be used to link directly with your cell phone to measure all sorts of vitals, everything from heart rate to blood pressure to sometimes even blood sugars, as I was saying. So you can really get a whole sort of picture of your health. And then from there, we move into the more fringy side of the biohacking movement, where you get people really starting to experiment with implanting devices into their bodies that can do some quite interesting things, and not just for health reasons, also to almost give themselves superpowers, which is quite exciting or scary from a perspective.
It's going on 12:15. This is Cape Talk Overnight Live. I'm Mark Johnson with you till 3. I'm chatting to Bronwyn Williams, trend translator and future finance specialist for Flux Trends. If you have any questions about biohacking, or maybe you are a biohacker yourself, or you're doing something in the process using your smartwatch, or you've implanted something into the back of your the top of your spinal cord to measure your posture, feel free to call in the studio 021-446-0567, WhatsApp, text and voice notes 072-567-1567. A lot of it sounds sort of positive and good and healthy, and ways to improve one's lifestyle and health. Some of it sounds mildly obsessive. Like what kind of devices would you insert your body to measure what?
Well, some of the most common ones are RFID chips. And these RFID chips are not always implanted to measure body function so much as that people are starting to implant them now in order to allow their bodies to do things that your natural human body otherwise wouldn't be able to do. So in essence, if you implant a chip into your hand or your thigh or your forehead, you would be able to use your own body as your credit card, for example, or as your bus pass, you know, or as your access card to a building. So that's very much getting into sort of Minority Report scenario. And biohackers are really doing this because they're finding it's useful to them. So the whole movement isn't just about optimizing your health, it's also about optimizing your living standards, however that might be for you, whatever you want to do with your body. So people are getting quite creative with these sort of things. Some of them are just purely for aesthetic reasons. People will implant maybe horns in their heads or futuristic type implants in their bodies. That's one sort of branch of the biohacking movement, but that's more, we can see an evolution of just general body modifications from tattoos and piercings. Obviously, each generation wants to do something a bit different, but more extreme, because that's how you express yourself. And the whole world at the moment is once again quite interested in the whole futurist type aesthetic, which is quite an interesting trend you can see. The last time we saw the world obsessed with this sort of future aesthetic was back in the 60s. And then during the 70s, 80s, 90s, people got quite obsessed with the here and now and making money today. But we're really seeing the world shifting focus once again to the future. I don't know if you've seen on the sort of websites that you visit how words like future and futurism and what's going to happen tomorrow have really become much more mainstream.
Yeah.
The whole futurist aesthetic is coming through into our bodies too, because if you read science fiction or watch movies, you'll see that generally they depict people as having some sort of cyborg type aesthetics or body modification.
Let's go conspiracy theory quickly.
Sure.
Because these, what do they call these chips, not SD chips?
RFID.
Because I remember like a while ago, RFID chips were in the news. People were implanting the animals with RFID chips for identification and locating their pets. And then there was like this conspiracy theory of, I think in the States they wanted to implant it. They went to implant kids with RFID chips for the kids that get kidnapped, or, you know, get there because people are concerned about the kids, and people wanted RFID chips implanted, and then everybody was saying, yeah, but this is the government's way to, you know, track everybody and your movements and what is going on. And is this, I mean, when you say that people are doing this to themselves, there's a weird thing inside of me that, like, I'm beginning to live in a Terminator movie, and... And this is what the government wants.
Well, that depends on your perspective. And the biohacker movement, I think, shares a lot of your sentiment. The whole point of this movement is that it's self-directed, that you're doing it yourself, so the government can't control your body. But, of course, if you are starting to implant any sort of electronic device into your body, if you can use it to track yourself, someone else can theoretically track and hack you, too.
He's correct.
So I'm not sure it's the wisest choice, but there's it. The motivation behind this movement is very much about individual sovereignty and ownership over your own body and your own functionality. It is in many ways a resistance movement, especially on the cyborg side. It's a biohacking movement against central control and being told what to do by governments and institutions. So at the same time, it is quite ironic.
Yeah, I was about to say that's the irony.
People who want to be anarchists and anti-establishments are the same people that are literally implanting voluntarily trackers into their own bodies.
let's talk about because, you know, I just think it's kind of weird that, like, you know, going that far. I think, you know, having a cell phone, having a smart device that reads your eyes, I think that's, you know, that's very good. That's healthy. You know, changing the way you eat, you know, cutting out coffee or doing things to improve your health and tracking the effects of it. Because, you know, there's obviously optimum, there's optimum ratios or optimum things, like too much coffee is bad for you. One cup of coffee a day, whatever the numbers are for your physiology, is how it goes. So let's stick to the things that don't scare me when it comes to biohacking. What are the positives, the positive things that people are doing that's really trending? I know we just mentioned like the aspects of technology.
Well, on the technology side, there are some interesting things happening there, too. It's not just people putting trackers into their bodies, although that's generally where the conversation goes to, because that's what frightens people. But a lot of the sort of modifications people are doing are for maybe autistic reasons. So you've got people that are implanting devices into their bodies that allow them to have different sensations than you could have with your natural bodies. So they can actually give themselves a sixth sense, whether that's the ability to feel earthquakes when they happen, as one artist did for herself, or it's someone that's implanted an antenna into his head so he's able to see sounds and hear colors. So that's quite an interesting sort of hack, but it's just playing around with the way neuroscience works and tricking the brain into actually seeing the world in an entirely different way. So that's interesting, especially since these are modifications people have deliberately done into themselves. What we're also seeing is that it's making technology such as robotic limbs, for example, much more accessible to individuals. So I'm not sure if you know how expensive prostheses are for people that have unfortunately lost a limb or a finger. But now you've got technology such as 3D printing, for example, combined with DIY robotics. We're getting to a point where people can print functional limbs for themselves at a very low cost. And then you can get into the realm of brain neural interfaces, and you can actually start to control those limbs using your thoughts. Practically, that's pretty much what's going to happen there. And that's not far away off at all. You can already buy devices on Amazon for around about $500. It's going to allow you to wear a helmet, and then you can sync that up with electronics in your home, very much like you can do with a Google Home or Amazon Alexa device. So all the same gadgets you can connect to that, you could connect to one of these helmets, and you can program your thoughts to then control the devices in your home.
Okay.
So that's kind of a bit, it might seem a bit strange to sit around at home with a metal bucket on your head so you can switch the lights on and off by thinking. But you can also apply that technology in much more useful ways. So as I said, with like prosthetics, for example. So when you see biohackers hacking their bodies and using science in order to really give so much more mobility and practicality to their lives, then it becomes a lot more positive.
I think it's absolutely amazing, and I'm gonna share something with you, and then I'm hoping you can share with me as well. But before I do that, I'm just going to say it still sounds like the extreme version of it, or there's part of it that still sounds that's kind of not creepy. Doesn't sound absolutely safe in terms of. Putting the like, if you can tell your TV to go on and off, at some point, your TV is going to be able to tell you to go on and off. I don't know, but let me like I've biohacked myself, like in the past like month, I've started drinking less coffee. I've also moved from low fat milk to fat free milk. That is about as biohacky as I get. I don't really monitor my heart rate when I'm exercising. Because I just like to exercise without thinking about things too much. And I kind of take things in how I feel.
Yeah, then maybe you're not quite a biohacker yet. So you need to start recording a diary to see how all those little changes worked, and then slowly optimizing to find what your complete optimal level of dairy and caffeine and all the rest of it will be. To give you the most vitality as well as least amount of effort and all budget cost. So, yes. But as far as things being a little bit scary, yes, it's absolutely true. But that's why we have these sort of conversations. Because if listeners can understand what's going on around them, then they can make more informed choices. And that's really the essence of the biohacking movement. It's about putting knowledge and science and technology in the hands of individuals, so individuals can make their own choices about their own bodies, rather than relying on what a government or a corporation or an advertising campaign would tell you to do. If you don't have that knowledge base in order to make smart decisions, you could end up being coerced into biohacking hacking your body in ways that aren't necessarily what you would do if you knew what was going on.
Have you tried any of these things? Have you got like levels of biohacking that you've taken on in your personal life?
Only in terms of monitoring my intake with certain types of beverages and foods to see how that affects the way that I work. And definitely if you start tracking your sleeping patterns, I would personally say that you'll be able to reveal quite a lot about how you can improve the efficiency of your body and your mind during the day.
It's wonderful. Any advice on people trying to find out either more information, or if there are like centers or shops in Cape Town where they can go and get these things and become robots?
Well, in terms of cybernetics and body hacking labs, I haven't come across many in South Africa. In Sweden, there are quite a few of these popping up. So they're almost like innovation labs, but designed for people to get together and biohack together and to come up with cybernetic devices and robotics and share knowledge on brain neural interfaces and neuroscience and all the rest of it. So I would say it's probably a good business opportunity for someone out there in Cape Town if they want to set up a biohacking lab, because there's a lot of benefits to society that comes through that, because when you are experimenting with science, you're not moving science up to scientists, because anyone can be a scientist, really. A whole lot of innovations are going to come out of that. What I have come across in South Africa is the fact that we were one of the first countries to start taking advantage of DIY printed prostheses. I know there are a couple of companies up in Joburg where I live that have done that. They've managed to create prosthetic hands for a couple of hundred rand, which is ridiculously cheap. And they, these sort of 3D printing facilities do offer classes and other program that sort of technology. But the nice thing about the biohacking movement is it's multidisciplinary. It's about putting together any sort of science, biology, technology, and using that knowledge in order to enhance your body as much as you possibly can. So if you're interested in science, if you are interested in learning, you can definitely get involved today. It's just starting with your own kitchen and working your way up from there.
No, I think it's this. I think I've said this before. I think it's very important to keep track of what you're doing. And it's, I mean, you know, there's the one extreme where people are not keeping track and they totally lose themselves and they out of shape, their health is deteriorating, their sleep is bad, they're stressed out, and they've got no control over their lives. And you know, to take control back, and this is exactly a DIY, taking control over your own life and not letting somebody else determine your daily rhythms and what you eat, and because you can't do this, you have to eat that. And you know, I think there's definitely a lot of positive in the movement. And at the same time, I think there's a lot of concern. But, you know, like, the only way we can find these things out is by trial and error and seeing what works and seeing what doesn't work.
Yes, make your own decisions and look after your own body your way.
I was about to call you Dr. Bronwyn. Thank you so much for taking time to chat to us and teaching me and our listeners more about biohacking. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who are quite keen on it already. I know I gym with people that are constantly monitoring themselves and checking their progression and also what they take in. So it's definitely, there's a lot of positive to take from this. So thank you so much, and I hope you have a great weekend further.
Me too.